This talk is part of our Celebrating 125 Years of the St. Bride Library lecture series, which has kindly been sponsored by Adobe, Commercial Type, iMagazine, Eric de Belaigue, Google, Jerry Wright, Just Another Foundry, Klim Type Foundry, Lexan GB Creative and Innovative Print, Mayor of London, Medioto Graphics and Animation, Peter Longland, R Typography, Type By, Usborne Publishing, and the Wink in the Word Society Charitable Trust, who have sponsored students and recent graduates from the UK and US to attend this lecture. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy the video.
Team at St. Bride for allowing me the opportunity to make a presentation to all of you. I'm assuming everybody in here is very like-minded in creative processes and creative ideas and graphics and design. As you can see behind me, that's a library in my office. And I use a lot of these books when I was working on a number of films, movie posters, when I was working on Do the Right Thing and School Days. For Spike and a number of team, you know, with George Lucas. So it's an honor to work with you. And should I get started in who I am and go forward?
Absolutely, yeah. You've done my introduction for you yourself, which is fantastic. So I'd just like to say a huge thank you to Art for joining us today. And we're really excited to hear what you say. So please do go ahead, Art. Thank you. Yes. So handing over to you.
Okay, great team. To kind of tell you a little bit about me, I'm in the United States, obviously. I was born in Detroit, Michigan. And Detroit, you know, is famous for Motown. And I was in love with the Motown scene. So I kind of got brought up into music. I loved music and following Motown. So my mother was a great teacher in Detroit, and she taught me and saw through other teachers that I was very talented in terms of illustration and artwork. So she recommended that I stay in it. My dad was a doctor, and my dad didn't want me to be a doctor. He said, do something different. And so my mother was strong enough to see that I was good and creative. So I went to a wonderful high school in Detroit, Michigan called Cass Tech, which is basically, you know, one of the top high schools in the Detroit, Michigan area, still is today. And I stayed in the area of fine art and developing myself creatively. And so I have a lot of friends that are still, that I graduated with at Cass Tech, that are doing very well. I have one friend, Arvell Jones, who works with Marvel Comics and Marvel Films. And so there's a number of people I knew that are very successful. And then after I offered a scholarship to a university in Michigan called Michigan State University. I was offered a 4-year scholarship that was paid for, and they gave me the opportunity to develop my artistic skills and develop them more and more. That was in 19, I graduated Cass Tech in 71, and I went to Michigan State 71 to 75, and then I graduated from there. Now, kind of just to give you a little bit about me, even when I was at Michigan State, I was there, like in my junior year, I was looking for a job opportunity, and I wanted to design album covers and CD covers. And so I pitched, my professor, Joseph Kujai, referred me to a wonderful gentleman named Ed Lee. And let's see, I have, just so you guys could, I could show it to you later. Real quickly, I'll just show you. This is a letter that Ed Lee gave me, just honoring me creatively on what I have done. It was written in 1974. So, we wrote a beautiful letter about me. And so I ended up at CBS Records. He hired me. And I came just on one night, one day. It was kind of like a miracle situation. I didn't know anybody. I was African American. I mean, I had a big afro then. And, he's a gentleman from China. And he respected my creativity. And he brought me in to teach me how to be an art director. Excuse me. So the beauty of this class was, wasn't even a class. I thought I was going to come in and I was going to be, as a graphic designer, you usually start in production. And, doing production, you don't start in as a graphic designer or art director. But he brought me in and he taught me from the ground up how to be an art director. So I was very honored. I was there my junior year at Michigan State and they wanted me to stay at CBS. But I got kind of nervous. I was young at the time and I don't know. Now that I think about it, hindsight being 2020, I should have stayed in New York because I was in the place where graphic design, one of the top places in the world is New York City. So I went back to Michigan State and I got graduated in my senior year. And it's the beauty of that class was, I remember one of my professors told me that she said I wouldn't, before I went to CBS, she said, Art, I don't think you're ever going to be creative at all. I don't think you should be in graphic design. So the funny thing about it is that when I got my job at CBS, I was designing album covers for that famous group, The Sound of Philadelphia, The Manhattans, with Isley Brothers. And so I took, Ed was giving me credit on the album cover, on the back of the cover. And so I took those to, back to Michigan State and I showed them to the professor and we put them in the class. And so I showed the professor, I said, look, you said, I wouldn't be a good graphic designer. Look, my name is on these album covers on the back. So it was kind of funny, a lot of times, as a graphic designer, a lot of times you have to stay positive. And don't let anybody tell you creatively where you stand. You know where you stand creatively, artistically. And you have to stay positive and go forward and never give up. And sure enough, I didn't. And that was one of the results. So I went to that last class at Michigan State, graduated from there. So I got a Bachelor of Fine Arts. With honors. And then I left there. I decided I wanted to do something different. So I didn't want to go to New York. I've been in New York. So I decided that I would go to Los Angeles, California. And I traveled, had friends of mine, and I traveled to Los Angeles. I loved it. And I stayed here. But the beauty, I didn't have nothing. I'm telling you, man, I was like a designer with no job. I mean, I would go and stand outside A&M Records and I would try to hassle the art director over there to hire me. And, they wouldn't do it. They'd give me a few things, but very little work. It was tough business. So I kept going around trying to get a job. And I finally went over to a wonderful place called EMI Music, Capital Music, and I met a wonderful art director named Roy Kahora, a Japanese gentleman. And so the beauty of Ed Lee from New York is that he flew out to Los Angeles and he went to a meeting I had with Roy Cahor, and he said, look, you should hire Art. He's one of my top designers that was at CBS, and you should bring him in. And as a result, I was hired by Roy Cahor. So that was a beautiful thing that Ed did, to get on a plane, fly from New York all the way to Los Angeles to tell the people to hire me. So, I mean, I just had good things that happened to me that don't happen to everybody. But when you seek, you will find. And I was looking to develop a very good relationship, and I got hired. So I went and I worked for EMI Music for about at least about 4 or 5 years, And then I left there, and then I went, I left there because I was getting a lot of, one thing I was going to say to you is that as a graphic designer, a lot of times you try to do projects that will uplift you and creatively make a good presentation of what you do. But what I did was, I was in Hollywood, right? So I reached out to a lot of celebrities, and a lot of celebrities that were like in film and music, and showed them my work, and they started to hire me. And I worked for famous producers like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who produced Janet Jackson. I worked with Quincy Jones. I worked with, and these were all introductions that I did on my own. I hustled them myself. I reached out to them, made a presentation. Stevie Wonder. I worked with another company called Solar Records. I'll show you some of the work as we move forward. I'll show this to you right now. This is some of the work in my early stages of my career. I'll show you. This is some of the work that I did. I did this for Quest Records. This is the famous album cover I did for Bob Welch at Capitol. I was nominated for a Grammy for this design. I worked with Earth, Wind, and Fire. This was the logo I did for Stevie Wonder. I worked with people like LaToya Jackson, Michael Jackson's sister. So that's how I began my process. And then after I went, I left, Capitol Records, I went over to CBS Television, and I was an art director over there in Los Angeles, and I was there for about a year. And then I was getting a lot of phone calls to do a lot of graphic design work at the time. And so then I started my company, 1124 Design Advertising, and I did it with my own money. I didn't get a loan from anybody. And I started building my company. And I liked, artistically, I liked being by myself and my team, hiring my creative team together, and we're working together. Let's see what else. I'm going to show you, after I left there, I started getting into, the movie business. I'm going to show you guys some samples of the work that I did. I'm going to bring them up right now. Sorry for the delay. So what I'm going to show you are some samples of some of the work that I've done over the years. I'm pretty sure that you've seen this this view I'm going to show you right now. It's called Works of Color. This is some of the work that I've done over the years. As you can see, I did School Days. It's funny, you know, when I wanted to work with Spike Lee, So I reached out to Spike after he did She's Gotta Have It. And the producer on his next film, School Days, introduced me to Spike. And I met him in Los Angeles at the Chateau Marmont Hotel. He was very happy of my work. He liked it. And then he hired me from there going forward. So I know this is hard to see. I'm going to see if I could zoom in just a little bit more. And I started working with Spike and freelancers. So School Days, I did that. We designed that, Do the Right Thing. School Days, you know, was about colleges, black colleges in America. And then I went here, did Do the Right Thing. The way that I work is that I get a script. And once I get a script, I read the script, and then I do little sketches, and then little thumbnail sketches inside the inline of the script. And then I take those, and then we blow them up. And I'll show you more of that as we go forward. And then I did More Better Blues. I did King of New York for a great director, Abel Ferrara. I designed these are all finished key art that I did and then are completed and finished. New Jack City, Jungle Fever, Malcolm X that I did. It's like I worked with John Turturro, I did Mac, I worked with the Hughes Brothers, I did Menace to Society, Crooklyn. Clocker, these are just a number of them, Girl Six, Get on the Bus, which, you know, film about blacks in D.C., in Washington, D.C., He Got Game, the basketball film with Denzel, that was shot by a really great photographer named Baron Claiborne, who shot this photo of I direct all the photo shoots. Same thing up here with Crooklyn. I did that one with Jeffrey Scales. I hired him. I did another film, Summer of Sam, which is about the murderers in New York City, the mass murder. This was just another film I did for his cousin, Malcolm Lee. Love and Basketball, great film. Art director, the photo shoot. D. Stevens did this photograph. Kings of Comedy. That was a one-day shoot Spike did. Bamboozle, which is one of my favorite posters. I did me and one of my designers, Steve Kelly. He did this beautiful illustration of the Pickaninny with the watermelon in them. There was a lot of controversy behind this poster. A lot of African Americans didn't like it because they felt that New Line Cinema was putting down black people. They thought it was very racist, and so I had to tell them that, you know, that I'm a black ad agency, and the reason why me and Spike did the Pickaninny with the watermelon was because the movie is about products that were made to sell black products in America. So we wanted to make it as controversial and as racist looking as possible. So, I mean, okay, now these are small ones. I did this for Dr. Dre and Snoop called The Wash. It's a Jim Brown, it's a documentary. Skins, that's a producer I did for John Killick. And these are just a few things that I've done. Let's see what else I could show you guys. I'm going to show you some things that are relatively new. I think a number of you have seen Black Panther. I was hired by Disney and Marvel to work on the key art for Black Panther. And I'm going to show that to you right now. I think what I should do, okay, I'll go ahead, I'll just show this. So I'm just going to show you samples. Okay, this is Black Panther. These came from pencil sketches that I did on Black Panther. And pencil sketches, just to kind of give you a look. Hold on a second. Let me show you just how we work. A lot of times when I'm working on a movie, you could see this. This is a pencil. These are pencil sketches that after I read the script on Black Panther, I came up with these ideas. And then my illustrators, we drew these little sketches of Black Panther, of ideas that we feel would possibly be good movie posters. And I felt that Black Panther was a iconic image that was very powerful, and he was aggressive. So I wanted to show him being aggressive. I wasn't gonna have his helmet on, and I was told by Disney that they wanted me to make sure all my drawings had, you know, Black Panther's helmet on. And I, you know, it's kind of funny because another image that came out it showed Black Panther without his helmet, showed the lead actor, you know. And so anyway, I just kind of, I mean, a lot of times when a marketing executive tells you a direction to go in, a lot of times hindsight being 2020, I should have did some ideas without the helmet. A lot, you know, I mean, as an art director, I try to do two things. I try to give a client, when they ask me to do something, or if they ask you to do anything creatively, I try to do what they want. And then I give them additional ideas, or ideas that I like. And then that way, if the client doesn't like what they told you to do and then they like what you did, you have an option there. So a lot of time it's not a good idea to always do what the president of marketing tells you to do and always submit ideas that you feel are better than what they're suggesting that you do. So anyway, so these were like sketches that I did, and after the sketches, hold on a second. I'm going to, sorry for the delay. I'm going to show you the color. I was just showing you the color images. Okay, here we go. Sorry, you guys. And then after I did those sketches, then they took my sketches and they hired a photographer. They hired Kwaku Austin. I did not direct a photo shoot. I wish I would have. And they gave, these were individual images that they gave me of Black Panther based on my drawings. And then my team came in and did, on high resolution images, we created the backgrounds, the cities. The logo was given to me. I didn't design that, so they gave that to me. So here, like, from the sketches you just saw, and I did the high-res version of them. Then, like here, for example, this was an image of the Black Panther they gave me by itself, high resolution. And then I created the waterfall, the rays of light, the fire. We added the three stars. These were individual shots of the three girls. But I added all the flames and all the rocks and everything. And so I did another version of that. Same one here with the waterfall. They gave me this Black Panther image. But as you can see, it matches the pencil sketches that I did. This is when he was leaving the exploding building. This is Black Panther in his throne room in Wakanda. Did a couple versions of that. Here I made him more aggressive with his claw hand coming at camera. I was just trying to give Warner Brothers and Marvel, not Warner Brothers, Disney and Marvel the choices. Here there were like different versions I did. Sometimes it's good, sometimes when you can't make up your mind creatively what you want to do, is you want to show the client various versions of the same, of a different look. Even though it's a repeat, it's a good thing to do just so that you never know what clients, meaning presidents of marketing, are going to like and what they're not going to like. Here are some other images of Black Panther. I'll go through these. That was the same image that we just added blue instead of the rainbow colors. Then a combination of all the celebrities. So that was a Black Panther. I'm taking you guys through some of the work that I've done. This, what I'm going to show you now, is something that nobody has seen. You guys are the first to see it. When I mean nobody, I mean nobody, except for Warner Brothers saw this. And it's still being considered for the, this is a movie with Will Smith that's coming out. But he plays the father of Serena and Venus, the two famous tennis players. And the name of the film is called King Richard. So as you can see here, these are images that we presented to Warner Brothers. These were shots that were from the unit photography of Will Smith as King Richard. And then the two actresses, one was playing Venus and the other was playing Serena. The movie was about the kids, just briefly. The movie was about Richard taking these girls in Compton, California. I don't know if you guys understand, but you know, in America and in Los Angeles, one of the toughest, most beat up, crime infested cities is Compton, California. And these girls started learned how to play tennis with their dad in this Compton gang infested area And it was a problem. And, you know, in the script, Will got, you know, he got beat up by the gang members because they, you know, they wanted to rape these girls. They didn't care about them playing tennis. But Will wanted to teach them, and he kept going to that court. As you can see here, we have the word Compton over there, and he's teaching them how to play. And then as, you know, as he, you know, he kept fighting to get them, make them successful, he would hold up signs on the tennis court to tell them that you're a winner, just keep them positive. So that's what I was trying to do in the key. I was trying to show Will as a motivation person to motivate the two girls. And then I had some images with just Will by himself with the tennis balls. And this is a beautiful image. Sometimes every image doesn't have to be in color. A lot of times I like to mix things up and, you know, have them in black and white. You know, I think it's good to change the look and the feel. One thing I noticed, that this is the image that came from the movie, and then we added in this background and, you know, stylized it. They really, the two girls loved their dad. They just loved him so much. And that's a beautiful thing about this movie, was that they always loved him, the kids, the mom. They loved the father for helping them. I mean, he would take Will would take, playing King Richard, he would take a shopping cart in their neighborhood, and he put balls in it, and then he would, you know, teach the girls how to play. So here, I mean, you know, this is, you know, like, when you show this to a client, I don't know which one they're going to like. I tried to design it so that, you know, Will was strong, but the graphics were, that the logotypes were very bold and positive. I mean, not so much positive, but, you know, KR for King Richard. I mean, I tried to creatively come up with solutions that that weren't just plain images of Will, and I was trying to come up with a graphic solution in the background just to make it more interesting. I mean, a movie poster, the purpose of a movie poster, you got 7 seconds. Outdoor billboards, as you see in London, when you see a lot of outdoor billboards, you got 7 seconds, 10 seconds to see if you want to go see that film or if you want to buy that product. And so that's what I was trying to do here. The two girls, the two fists represent their team member, Will Smith. The two black balls represent Venus and Serena. Yeah, this is a beautiful image. Now, sometimes in graphics, I try to do something with typography and then put an image inside the type. And we took the sans serif, and I have two to the top. And then we put Will inside. So a lot of solutions graphically, I'm just telling you that when you're working on different projects, play with typography is a very important part of the composition and illustration that you're creating. Let's see. These are more. This was a film image that came from the movie. And he had these signs that Will put up for the kids to stay positive while they were on the court, learning how to play. He was just having a good time. I thought it was a very positive image. I don't know, like I said, I don't know what, if a client likes what we do or if they don't. My business as a graphic designer, your selections are very subjective. And so a lot of times you can't take it personal when somebody doesn't like your work. You do the very best that you can do or creatively. But if a client doesn't like the work, you ask them, well, what can we do to make it better? But a lot of times, you know, I mean, I have clients sometimes that tell me, I don't know what I want. And when I see it, I want it. I kind of hate those kind of explanations, because when a client tells me that they don't know if they like it or not, they don't know what they want. You mean you can end up doing hundreds of comps, and it's important that you, because time is money and you charge for your creative time. And you got to just make sure that, look, be more specific. That's why I always ask the client to give me a creative brief to kind of give me a direction of what they want to do. Okay, and then these were just a couple more directions on King Richard. One thing, I'll hit that later. I'm going to show you. Thank you guys for your patience. Hold on. I'm going to show you something else nobody has seen. I don't think you've seen it in London yet, but we just got through working on our famous basketball player, LeBron James, and we worked on a new film he has coming out called Space Jam. And this is the presentation that we gave to Warner Brothers. Just here again, I read the script and then I come up with directions. Space Jam is about his son didn't want to play basketball. He wanted to be a game designer. So when they were in a meeting at Warner Brothers, his son got upset at a meeting. He didn't want to talk about playing basketball and he left. And when he left, he went downstairs at Warner Brothers and he went through this one room he shouldn't have went through, and he got turned into animation. And LeBron followed him and he got turned into animation. And then that's where they met Don Cheadle, and they met all the cartoon characters. And the object of the film was LeBron had to beat them in basketball. He had to beat Don Cheadle in basketball so he could get transformed back to a reality. And he had to do it with the cartoon characters that Warner Brothers owns. So that's why here now, in this particular film, we didn't have LeBron in all the shots. We had a stand-in. So we built and designed high-resolution images of the stand-in with bugs. And then once they pick one of these directions, then we just put in the real LeBron James. So you're going to see some images here that have the stand-in. Now, all the cartoon characters, I had to hire our illustrator. We had to hire a animator to put the Toon Squad jerseys on, and we had to, you know, put the ball in their hands. So these were individually created cartoon characters for each image. I forgot how many comps there were, but a lot. And this was a lot of work, because we had to not only drop in the LeBron looking character and create the background and the hoop and everything, but we had to add in all the cartoon characters. So, you know, the graphic process can be a long process. And they had to be drawn perfectly. So all these characters were given to me individually, and then I dropped them in. So you'll see these as we go through There's LeBron and his son. That was a stand-in LeBron. We had to draw on all the characters, add in the background. Same thing with this one. So you guys can look at this, you're recording it, so you can look at it later and get a good view of the quality of the work. The art, the Photoshop work is really beautiful. You can see a lot of detail, a lot of effects that were placed. I mean, when you're working with designing movie posters, I don't know, I think movie posters are like art. I said that as a title for this series. Because after a film is completed, there's nothing left but this image. I remember LeBron always, when he plays basketball, he takes powder and he slaps it on his hands. So I was trying to recreate this same image. Oh, that's another stand-in I really liked. Here's a stand-in with Don Cheadle and his son. We had to redraw all again. All these had to be redrawn and did high resolution. Most of our comps are 300 DPI, 9 inches wide by 13 1/4 inch deep. That's a small version so the client can see them. Nowadays, we show clients PDFs. We don't print out a lot of comps. Sometimes we do, but most of the time we don't. And here's LeBron. Again, I was trying to come up with different solutions and directions. All the characters playing defense. Again, we added all the cartoon characters in the stand-in. LeBron created the high-res background. This presentation took a lot of work. We had to redraw all these characters, all the characters on, create their expressions, drop the fake LeBron in, and then create the background. It's very similar to when you're working on campaigns for any general market project. You just develop a high resolution image. I did 37. We did 37 of these. They're still making a selection right now. What's going to be the final on this? What else do I have? I want to show you guys one more, and then I'm going to go into. This is a movie, let me stop that, and let me do a restart. This is a movie I just did for Denzel Washington for Warner Brothers called The Little Things. Denzel plays a police detective. There's not a lot of gunfighting in this film. There's not a lot of... It's mostly about a woman that got raped, and they're trying to find out who did this one guy, Jared, did he rape these women? Rami, you know, won Academy Award for Rhapsody in Blue. So this is the first time him and Denzel have been together. So let me go through it. Here I was trying to, again, I read the script, I made notes, little sketches in the script, and we came up with these directions. That's him and the other detective working together. This one was kind of difficult because we didn't have guns and it was a little complicated because, you know, most of the time you see Denzel, he always has a gun or he's killing somebody, but this was a detective film that had a lot of integrity on the concept of finding who was the murderer. I mean, here we did put a gun in this one. I mean, you could see it here. Tried to give it a graphic solution, you know, with Denzel and then other images that were put in. This Denzel, and that's the murderer, and we blurred him on purpose. That's when Denzel was looking for him. The marketing executive told us that they wanted the type to be lowercase. I mean, it wasn't lowercase there, but it was in these other ones. This is a scene when the detective was digging to find where the girl was buried. That the killer, he wasn't even the killer, he was just taking them on a wild goose chase. And then at the end of the film, he got upset and he killed him. Him meaning Ramy did. I don't like to use a lot of splattered blood. I'm not a fan of it. But in this particular one, there was the girl had a red hairpin. And so we just used it, but I'm not a fan of it. I just, to get the client happy, I tried blood, but I'm not a fan of blood. These were other images that were used. Let's see, that's Denzel and the detective Ramy. I tried to beat it up, you know, distress it a little bit. Like I said, I tried different looks. Some have similarities and some. That's a scene when Denzel burned up everything. When they found out that Jared did not kill the girls, they went in his apartment and took all the stuff and burned it to get rid of the evidence so the police would not come out and arrest Ramy for killing somebody for no reason. Like here, he killed him and they ended up burying him. I mean, I know these are not really exciting things to look at, these images. I was trying to develop a direction. So this was Little Things. This movie is already out. I'm not sure if it's in London yet. Um, Let me, I want to show you guys. One more look. Okay, now you'll see my history here. Okay, these images do exist. These are original images of movies that I've worked on. I designed the key art, and love When the Levees Broke, I did for Spike. It's a documentary on the Katrina floods that happened in New Orleans. I don't know if you heard about it, but so my idea was I took the sign, a street sign of New Orleans, and I made it into a type treatment. And that's how you have when the levees broke. We did a few directions for the client. I worked on Bamboozle. These were some of the ideas that never got used. And here's some other images that were shown in our presentation. I worked on Clockers. Clockers was a script about gangs in New York City. And so we did pencil sketches. Sometimes I'll do these kind of drawings. This is a sketch drawing that was, you know, that we did. And these are different logotypes.
Oh, hi.
Sorry, you're not sharing your screen.
Yeah, sorry, we can't see what you're sharing at the moment.
Oh, you can? Okay, hold on.
Sorry. Thank you.
Hold on. Thank you guys for telling me that. Hold on.
Sorry.
Hold on. I'm sorry, let me go back.
That's okay, really don't worry. Easily happens.
Can you see it? Can you see it now?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Okay, let me go back to the top. Okay, so When the Levees Broke, used some comps that we did on that for HBO and Spike Lee about the floods and the Katrina. So, and then sorry, I'm going fast. That's the final one sheet there. Bamboozle, these are some looks that we did. Additional looks that didn't get used, but these are just some rough ideas. Clockers was a film about gangs and drugs being sold in New York. And I did pencil sketches like this one. These all exist. These are images I just took photos of. Then the logotype. A lot of times I would, you know, we would do little sketches and draw what it's gonna look like, but then we pencil it in. These are another black and white images of Clockers. Crooklyn, that was the story of Spike's life, and Brooklyn. So I came with a lot of different looks. This was a photo shoot that we did with Jeffrey Scales. I'm sorry, it's kind of angled, but. Here's some pencil drawing. We actually shot this. With the girl braided hair with the spelling of Crooklyn in the hair. That was actually photographed by Jeffrey. And Spike, you know, breathing in a bag. I guess they kind of getting high then. This was the final logo, just the beginning of it. These are more the Kirkland image you just saw up earlier. These are pencil sketches that we did that were looked on before we. Jeffrey Scales shot this. I colorized it after we finished it, but this was an original shot. There was no retouching done on this. It was one shot. Here's Do the Right Thing. When I was working on Do the Right Thing. And here's some ideas for the one sheet. These were logotypes that never got used. I was trying to make Do the Right Thing was supposed to be kind of like an African hand done, like street art, you know. So when we were drawing, with designing it, and then we did it, everything by hand, and wanted to create, you know, kind of a street logotype feel. This one kind of looks like the finish with the kente cloth. That was an idea for the one sheet, never got used. I did lots of work on this. We were trying to come up with something special. Some more logotypes. That was the idea for the one sheet. There's another one for the one sheet. This was the photo shoot that I hired Anthony Barboza shot this. We did this. This is the final one sheet that we shot on the Universal film lot. And we brought in a camera that Anthony stood up on. And then we brought in Danny Aiello and Spike and the girl, and we did. I hired a real famous muralist, Joe, who drew. I designed the logo, and then we drew it on the street, and we colored it. And. You know, if you could remember the original one sheet, I didn't like the color of the street, so I made it blue because I felt Do the Right Thing was a movie about fantasy, about a neighborhood that did exist, but it really didn't exist. So that's why we made it blue, because I wanted to give it kind of a fantasy look. That's why I made the street blue. Get on the Bus was a film I worked on, some type treatments and the logo. We worked on another movie called Girl Six, which was a film about phone sex. And we did some pencil drawings to get an idea of what the one sheet was going to. As you can see here, I did these kind of sketches, you know, of what the ideas were going to be for Girl Six, the little small ideas. And then we go and we redraw them at a higher resolution. So I do this on all my films. I do little thumbnails just like this. Yeah. These were pencil sketches on Girl 6. He Got Game, story about Denzel and his son played basketball in Coney Island. And these were in comps that we did. The final one, I think I showed it to you in the earlier one with him in the middle with Ray Allen on the left and right. These were different images that we showed. A documentary on the famous football player in America, Jim Brown, All-American, and these are different looks. Then we went to Jungle Fever. Before we got to the hands, the black and white hands, we ended up starting with some images of of Wesley Snipes and Annabella. And this was a special photo shoot that we tried to submit for the one sheet, but it didn't get used. Another movie we worked on for Spike Miracle is St. Anne, about war and World War II in Italy. And these are just a few different looks. I'm trying to do something very graphic. You know, we drew the Nazi soldiers and the cross. Good graphic image here. These are additional images of the stars added in the background, the type treatment. More Better Blues, the jazz film, Denzel playing. These are just some rough ideas. As you know, we did a special shoot and we hired Anthony Barboza to photograph Denzel outside the jazz club. As you can see, this one was, can you guys see this?
Yeah, we're all good. Thank you.
Good. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, Love Supreme. At one point, this movie was going to be called Love Supreme, which was the name of the film that Spike wanted. But John Coltrane's wife did not want him to call the movie Love Supreme. So that got killed. This is School Days. You know, about all black college in America that dealt with college fraternities. I don't think they have fraternities in, do they have fraternities in British colleges?
Not at the university I went to, but I don't think so, no.
More yes, I thought.
More like societies and things, but yeah, or clubs, but no.
These were tight treatments. The Spike, we were doing the ad at the time to sell products. this is Malcolm X. And I did a lot of different ideas for Malcolm X. We didn't know. I mean, when Denzel was telling me what he wanted to do on Malcolm, he said, what are we going to do? Do we do the angry Malcolm? Do we do the old Malcolm? Or do we do like the young Malcolm? And so we just couldn't make up our mind. And so at the end of the day, I mean, as you can see here, we had Denzel and we had the Nation of Islam. And then, you know, in the movie, Denzel did go to, he went to Egypt, you know, to participate in the Muslim celebration. And then here we had Denzel with the Nation of Islam. And then we had this one here, almost became the final one sheet with the flame on fire. with the X on fire, and Warner Brothers loved it. They loved it, but they felt Joel Wayne, president of marketing at Warner Brothers, told me they thought that if we went with this image, that the racism in America would not like seeing the flag wrapped around the X burning. But they loved it. Almost became the final. Here's some more pencil drawings. They're different sizes because they were different images size. I was doing this before they even started Wakanda. Here's some more pencil sketches on Denzel. It's another one sheet we did when the levees of God's Willing and the Creek Don't Rise on the, it was done for HBO. There's another one sheet, Mother Finest. I think these are actual finished one sheets that we did. And here's some samples of the finished one sheet. Life, The Secret Life of Bees, Who's Your Caddy, Edge of America. These are all finishes that I finished. Bamboozle, you saw that, Clockers, Crooklyn, Do the Right Thing. This is probably one of my favorite movie posters. That one and Bamboozle, these two I love very much. And Malcolm X. I liked He Got Game. I thought that was nice. Jungle Fever, obviously I love this. A beautiful image of the black and white hand. I love Loving Basketball. I thought that was a beautiful image of the two people. I love X. X was fantastic. It's so simple. And we got that because Spike was wearing a hat with the X, and we couldn't make up our mind. So I said, Spike, we should just go with the X that's on your hat. You know, because first of all, we'll be marketing your hat. And then secondly, you know, it's a beautiful image. So I came, and this was the final one sheet. It just said the X and it said November. That was it. New Jack City, I did for Warner Brothers. I love it, it's a good image. Summer of Sam, I loved. I think I went through these. I did this for Ali with Will Smith playing Muhammad Ali. I worked on another film that was like on black exploitation called Black Dynamite. This Christmas, these are all Coach Carter. I think I'm repeating, Dreamgirls. Freedom Riders, I did for Paramount. I love it because it's graphically is a very powerful image with the gun loading in pencils in the gun chamber. And that's just a few samples of what I've done. We're at 12:15. Do you want me to do a Q&A or what?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Thank you, Art.
Did I show you guys enough work?
Absolutely. I mean, you have.
One thing I forgot to show you guys.
Sorry, go ahead. We can just see your toolbar at the moment, so we can't.
Oh, what'd you say?
We can just see the We can only see a little bit of the PDF window at the moment, so if you
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on, guys.
That's okay. There's no rush.
Here's some last images that you never saw. I did these for George Lucas. Red Tails. It's a story about World War II. And the beauty, George didn't even give me a script. And that sometimes that can happen in graphic design. Sometimes a client can tell you, I don't have a script. I don't have a creative brief. He just said, you know what the movie's about. It's about the Tuskegee Airmen. Come up with an idea. If I like it, we use you. If we don't like it, you're fired. So I went in and I did all my research. What happened is back in the days with warplanes, they did illustrations of warplane. They did drawings. So what I did is I took some drawings from some of the famous illustrators and we recreated the same illustrations that were done for warplanes fighting in the air in Photoshop. And that's how I came up with this image of the big plane, large World War II plane, with the other planes coming in and they're fighting in the air and they're blowing them up. And I came with this wonderful idea. The logo was done by Lucas. They gave it to me. And they loved it. And they said, we love it. We love it. We want to go with it. That's it. And it was just a one-time shot, man. You do one shot, they like it, they don't like it. And then we did another version. They said, we want an image with just all the pilots in it. So we just recreated with them fighting in the air. So that's my story with George Lucas. I remember they were having champagne, they were drinking, they were laughing up in San Francisco. I could hear them laughing in the background. They were very happy. So that was good news. Here's some other images I did bad with Michael Jackson for Spike. And I recreated this artwork with a collage effect. I worked with a real famous director named Ava DuVernay. I did a movie she did called I Will Follow. She's an incredible director. And then I worked with Mike Tyson. We worked on for HBO. Undisputed Truth. Another film, a film with Denzel we did for Universal Pictures, Inside Man. So that is the end of, I showed you guys all of my work or some of it. And I hope I gave you some, I didn't talk a lot. If there's something I could answer questions specifically, I'll be glad to answer them for you right now.
Thank you so much, Art. I think I could listen to you speaking about your work all day. You've just got so many fascinating insights and advice about how you approach your career and your work, which I think translate across not just movie design, but any design. And I think I know from the comments, I've just been reading a few of them, everyone is absolutely loving what you've been saying. So thank you so much. I will send you a transcript of what everyone's been saying, but we have got a few questions. So give me a second.
Do you want me to send you guys a letter I got from American Institute of Graphic Arts on what they explain? You want me to, excuse me. Do you want me to download? Can I send it to everybody, or do you want me to?
Yeah, or if you email me, I can send it to everyone. That would be really fantastic.
I could send you over these small versions, like the small versions I showed you of all my work.
Yeah,
and that's a letter.
Yeah.
That AIG wrote on me. I can email those and you can send it to everybody.
Absolutely.
So they have copies of my work. I'd love to do that.
And just so everyone knows, we'll be sending a copy of the video as soon as I've edited it and put it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, good. I hope I said some good things.
You absolutely did. There's so much fantastic advice that people have been.
From in London, you guys do some of the most beautiful work I have seen. I mean, with Neville Brody, and I know some other wonderful graphic designers and photographers and art directors out of London that are just spectacular. I mean, there's a book. I have that book that has, I have a book on just graphic designers and art directors and photographers from London. I mean, you guys have just some of the most, I was inspired.
Oh, thank you.
By a lot of the work that came out of London. One great, there was a group, used to be a group out of London called Hypnosis.
Oh, okay. I don't know them actually, but I will.
Yeah, and obviously Neville Brody.
Yeah.
And but you guys just have spectacular. It's an honor to even show you some of my work.
Oh, well, no, the honor is all ours. I can absolutely say that 100%. I'm just looking at all the questions and people and just comments people have read. People have said that you have great determination when you were younger, which I think is really inspiring. And someone said you had me at Isley Brothers, which is great. I think if anyone's not muted, if you could just mute yourself, that would be really fantastic. Thank you. Sorry, I think there's a couple of people who've joined quite late who might not be muted, but that they're just coming up on screen a little bit. But I just wanted to let you know.
One's my sister.
that's completely fine. We want to see your sister. Lots of love of your work, and just that your work is just truly iconic and such impressive work spanning decades, which is just such a joy to see. And the fact that you're still creating and being as prolific as ever.
Oh yeah,
So.
Plan to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just reading through all the comments. Elizabeth has just said that movie posters always seem to demand such large images of the stars. This is a masterclass in showing how these can be used to their best advantage in combination with the typographic elements. It will be exciting to see if our favourites are the ones that are actually picked. I think she's talking about the ones like the Will Smith, the Williams sisters posters. It'll be interesting to see from the selection which ones get picked and how they change.
Oh, yeah, I can. Selection's done on King Richard, and LeBron James, I'll be glad to send them to you.
Absolutely. So Lauren has said, you mentioned 7 seconds to see a poster. Do you think that potentially the consumer audience could have more time to digest the poster now that these are available on different platforms, i.e. on social media, phone screens, potentially making them more intimate? Or do you think the posters will and should always be designed to suit this quick response?
I think it's a good point. 7 seconds is a short amount of time. And I was thinking of outdoor.
Yeah.
Like when you're driving in London, you know, you see billboards. But now that we're in an online experience, you could spend more time looking at an image. You can look at it for hours.
Yeah.
So you are right about that. But still, even the purpose is to come up with a solution or a direction. Whether you're looking at it for 7 seconds or looking at it for 7 hours or 1 hour, that the solution that we, I'm trying to, how do I say it? Am I telling you what this movie is about? Do you understand the purpose of this image is about? And if you can translate that in 7 seconds or 1 hour or 7 minutes or 7 hours, if it's making you want to go see that TV series or go see that movie, then I have achieved my purpose as a graphic designer.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in doing images that look pretty
yeah.
that do not make you inspire you to do more, you know? You know, I've been thinking about, I teach at Otis School of Design here in Los Angeles, and I'm going to do a class on political art, because now the way our society is now, with the killings that we're having in Minnesota and the types of things that are happening, I want to do something, images that are powerful politically,
yeah.
that'll just shock you into responding. And I'm going to do a, I think there could be a profession where street artists and political artists are taking their images and either and making, putting them online, and have a website that just specifically does deals with political art. But yeah, back to your question, 7 seconds or 7 hours, as long as I can get you to respond for the client, then we made it an achievement.
Brilliant. And there's another question that follows on really nicely from that, from Jonathan, who says, do you sometimes put Easter eggs or hidden messages or clues in your posters, either from the brief or on your own suggestion, possibly for people to come back to the poster and find new details when they once they've seen the film? I personally love spending time in front of the poster of the film I just saw once I leave the theater.
Oh, you're asking if I put secret images in there,
or little, you know, like when you see something immediately you go back and then find a hidden message or meaning that you, once you've seen the movie, explains it a bit more, that kind of thing.
Yes,
yes,
I try to do that. I mean, when I did Do the Right Thing, at the very beginning of that script, I mean, on the artwork, there was some police shooting bullets,
yeah,
at Spike, and Spike wanted that.
Sure.
And Warner Brothers Universal said, no, we don't want the cops shooting Spike, because it looks like we're telling people to murder people.
Yeah.
But I felt they were wrong to do that. I felt that politically Spike was on the right track in terms of what that movie was about. That movie was about police abusing people that lived in the community. It was like police brutality. And Spike was part of that. Yeah. And, but those are symbols that I do put in my images. I try to, so people can, you know, see them if they go back and look at it again.
Yeah. And, the next question is from Simon Loxley. Do you think that since, say, She's Got to Have It, the depiction of African American experience on film has been on an even and upward trajectory, or have there been peaks and troughs?
Oh, you're talking about what you talk? I didn't design She's Gotta Have.
Oh, since Do the Right Thing. Sorry, I mean, yeah, and like, or do you think generally since those sort of films have come out that the African American experience has been is even and upwards, or do you think things have been a bit different for that kind of thing? Does that make sense?
Oh, you mean like when you're talking about with Do the Right the question? I'm trying to hear your question correctly. Are you asking me if the image is, I'm trying to say, is it doing serving the purpose, or?
I think it's more about African-American experience and maybe like in movie going as a whole and how they're represented and that kind of representational kind of thing, how things have changed or and things are getting better since then, or does that?
Well, like I said, when I did Jungle Fever, which showed a black hand and a white hand about a love relationship,
yeah.
And you know, when I did movies like when we did the documentary, If God's Willing and the Creek Don't Rise, which is about that image is a famous African, a very famous African-American leader in New Orleans. And I use that image as a purpose to create that image. There are not enough images in what I like to do that speak specifically to African-Americans that are more provocative and more thought provoking. I want to do more of that.
Yeah.
And I just got through doing a series for A&E on what happened in 1921. There was a Tulsa burning where the racism killed yeah. All the people in the city. And when I saw the film, it was about a cemetery, because they were digging up the cemetery to find out how many people because they killed people and they dumped them in the cemetery in 1921. So they went back to the cemetery this year and they dug up the graves, the ground, and they found dead bodies. I wanted to do an image that showed like black hands coming out of the cemetery.
Yeah.
And A&E did not want me to do that. They said, don't show cemetery, don't show black hands. So I don't know what was the political purpose of me not showing what the truth was. You know, these black people were killed because of a black guy disrespected a white executive in an elevator. So anyway, my point is, no, I want to do more of that, but the studios don't allow me to, they're saying no to those images, and I don't understand why. They're not speaking the truth.
Yeah.
And that's important, that graphics,
yeah,
controversially does speak to the truth. I mean, that's what it is. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
It's important that it does send that message to people that what really has happened and what it should be.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, there's a lot to be addressed, I think. And I think it's great that you're even trying and championing and trying to change things and do more, which is fantastic. So hopefully things will change over time and the truth will come out more in the image that's reflected of such a crucial film and story to tell. So yes. So on a very different note, Elizabeth has said, you're showing multiple different creative directions for each of the movies. I know this is something that sometimes students struggle with, finding more than two or three different initial ideas. You said you always start with reading the script. Do you have any other advice on how students can develop and improve their ability to create multiple concepts and generate them?
I say sketch out your ideas, the number of ideas you have, and execute them. Whether you like them, if they're controversial,
yeah,
or they're not. But yeah, I think you should execute them at a high resolution and show them to your client. I don't think you should, I try not to edit my work prior to showing it to the president of marketing. I try to show them everything. Yeah. Because sometimes what's in my mind and what's in my mind is too soft or is not powerful enough. A lot of times something that I think is too soft, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
And I think you should, to my answer to that question, is that you should show everything that you do,
yeah,
good or bad, and execute it and show it to your client as part of your presentation.
Yeah. Because you never know, they might be surprised and go with the one.
They might be, I mean, because you, like I said, our business is subjective.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why I got out of designing album covers, because when I had a client telling me, I want you to use the color blue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for what? I mean, if you like blue, okay, I get it. But if it's not a graphic solution that's solving your problem, that's why I got into films, because movies, you could read scripts.
Yeah.
Or advertising when you're doing products for Nike or... That's what I like about Nike, because see, Nike really takes images and makes them into positive images.
Yeah.
And uses the controversy in those images to make them powerful, you know. So
definitely.
That's my question. Do all the images that you feel, do all of them and show them to the client and then see what they say.
Yeah, absolutely. One question I had was that what you're doing seems very similar to the way designing book covers works. And it's, you know, that instant 7 seconds of getting them sort of, you know, hooked on in the process. And there's a lot of parallels, which are quite interesting. And I just wondered, how involved are the director or the starring actor in the poster design? Do they have the final say, or does it really depend on the marketing team having more control, that kind of thing? So... Was it just vary project to project, like with books pretty much? And
I, Spike was always one who selected what was going to be the final one sheet, period.
Yeah.
I like for celebrities and producers to give their opinion because it's their movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, they're producing and directing and it's their film. And I think they should have a say so. I don't, to be quite honest with you, I think a lot of marketing departments don't have a clue.
Sure.
I'm sorry to say that, but a lot of them don't have a clue. And I'll be quite honest with you, it's like a long chain of movies that are, they're coming. They're going to put out 15 films and they kind of treat it kind of like, okay, this is a drama. Let's put Denzel with a gun.
Sure.
And that's not what the story is about sometimes. So I think it's important that the celebrity, Denzel was involved when I worked on Malcolm X. He's the one that said, look, let's go with the X, all right? Because I don't know, none of these are so political. And I don't know which one. I think the X would be best because it's so simplistic.
Yeah.
And, but yes, to answer your question, yes, the talent and the producer should have the say-so in what that image should look like.
Yeah.
The marketing team, be quite honest with you, some of them, I respect some of them, but some of the marketing executives have no clue. And one of the problems I have with that is a lot of them hire ad agencies that are just friends of theirs, that are buddies. I don't believe in hiring friends and buddies to work on strong and powerful graphic solutions.
Yeah.
If they are good, yes. If they're not that good creatively in solving creative solutions, they shouldn't be selected. I'm sorry. You can't bring in your brother to design the one sheet for Do the Right Thing. Sure. It's just not, it's got to have, I mean, our business is very technically driven by very technically creative people.
Yeah.
And if we have to explain that to our clients, and with all due respect, if they say, well, we're going to hire my brother, then okay, do that. I've seen so many movies fail because they hired their brother or they hired their sister that were not talented to actually, I mean, it's a process.
Yeah.
To develop a movie poster or a marketing campaign. It's a process. I mean, and that process has to have the very best people in the world working on it. That's you pay for what you get.
Absolutely. So Chris has asked, he noticed that there's a quite a heavy Saul Bass influence on the Clockers poster. And was that in quite yes. an intentional choice? And are there other graphic artists that have influenced you at all in your career?
Well, you're right. On Saul Bass, on Clockers, there were problems with that because I remember, and I told Universal, I said, look, you know, we want to do something that kind of like Saul Bass, but we can make the guy hip hop. I said, look, if I do that, you guys got to get the clearance
yeah.
from Saul Bass. I'm going to do it, but you guys got to get the clearance. I mean, I'll present it to you. And, you know, I mean, Spike liked it, but the problem is that when Saul saw that, he, you know, and this is my, here was my point.
Sure.
I know that, how can I say, okay, look, we couldn't afford Saul Bass. Saul Bass was going to charge us like hundreds of thousands of dollars to come up with an idea. So I said, in my mind, and I know this might sound crazy, but I said, let's draw a hip hop artist. And this is kind of my respect and homage to Saul Bass on a wonderful image that he did for the film he designed.
Yeah.
And to be all, with all due respect, I never saw the poster that Saul Bass did that I was, you know, basically copying.
Sure.
And I respect, I mean, I don't know how to say it. No, I shouldn't have done it. Maybe I should have said, look, you know, Warner Brothers, you got to get the, I mean, Universal, you got to get the clearance because we're going to have a legal problem. And sure enough, you go, somebody, a magazine calls me up and asks me, did you know that you just ripped off Sal Bass? And I said, well, I did it as a homage and respect to him. And then Sal said, that's bullshit. You stole my art, man. I don't like that. And then another bad thing happened. He died just after that.
Right.
And then somebody said, then my friend, not my friend, but executive said, oh, Art, man, he was so upset that you stole his work, he ended up dying. You killed him, man. And I felt like, oh my God, I didn't mean to rip it off to kill the guy. I felt so bad about it. It was horrible. But so to answer your question, I don't do that anymore.
Fair enough.
I made a mistake, but I did tell Universal, you got to get clearance from Sal. And they didn't do that. And then we had to, I mean, even though it's a beautiful image, we ended up changing it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. Because there's, sorry, I'm just looking at, there's been so many fantastic comments about your talk, Art. You won't have time to read them now, but I will send you a transcript of them. Everyone is just loving what you're saying, and we really could listen to you all day chatting, and you've got so many great insights and advice. I think it's just been so useful to hear, and it's just such a small glimpse of your amazing work, and people have said that they feel really...
I was going to say is that if anybody, you're welcome to give them my email.
Okay, sure, yeah.
And if anybody has any questions they want to ask me, I'll be glad to answer them.
Absolutely. So
you can give them my artsims at 1124design.com.
Absolutely.
No. You can send me an email and for you wonderful British designers and creative people. Please send me any question you'd like to ask me, and I'll be glad to answer it.
Sure. Yeah, we've got so many fantastic questions coming through, and I realize we're running over time, but I think everyone's really enjoying chatting. And I think I'm just looking for one last question to ask you. And then if there are any more, then please do email Art, as he said. So someone's asked, how do you balance illustration and graphic design within your posters? Because there's quite a heavy influence of both in some, and how do you sort of approach that?
I don't know if I have it. When I worked on The Color Purple, I should show it to you guys. I tried, and even when I worked on, I don't know if I even have it, but when I worked on The Color Purple, to answer your question about illustration and art, I've tried to use some of the top painters and illustrators. When I worked on The Color Purple, I brought in a very famous fine artist called Elizabeth Catlett. And Elizabeth Catlett was one of your more famous African-American fine artists. She passed away, but she was incredible. And she did a beautiful drawing of Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
And it was at one point, it was going to be the finished key art for The Color Purple. But what happened is Steven Spielberg, we couldn't get them to sign it. We couldn't get Warner Brothers to sign off on it. And we ended up selling it to Steven Spielberg, ended up giving it to Catherine Kennedy, one of the producers. So my answer to your question, same thing with Will Smith on Ali. I use a really famous fine artist out of Atlanta that did David Winthrop. We couldn't get it done. Even on Malcolm X, I hired Artist Lane. And Artist Lane did a beautiful sculpture of Denzel as Malcolm. And we couldn't get it used. So yeah, I try to use sculptors, illustrators, fine artists to show their work, because a lot of times their work doesn't get shown. And I felt in movie posters, there's a possibility that the work would be well received. And it was.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes, I do try to use fine artists, not just graphic designers.
Yeah.
And not just illustrators that use Illustrator software. I try to use painters, sculptors. I try to use those kinds of people to express the idea, the real people.
Oh, thank you so much, Art. I think we're going to have to draw the evening to a close. I think there are a few more questions we didn't get to. So I have put your email address in the chat. And so if anyone does want to reach out, please do email Art. And I would just like to say an absolutely huge thank you to Art for giving his time so generously today for such a fantastic and inspiring talk. And if
it was a pleasure to speak to you. And
absolutely brilliant.
If you need me to do a part two, excuse me, let me know. I'll be glad to come back.